Friends, thanks so much for being here. I do appreciate it. We're glad that you chose to spend this day with God as we celebrate our birthday, our birthday on Pentecost. Now, the scripture reading is obviously going to be St. Luke's account of the first Christian Pentecost. Remember, Luke wrote not only Luke's gospel, but Luke wrote the book of Acts as well. And so what we're going to see here is the very first Christian Pentecost, and we call it that because Pentecost was already a holy day. Pentecost was one of the feast days of Judaism. And so Luke will tell you about all these people who were in Jerusalem. Well, the reason you had Pamphylians and Phrygians and Egyptians and all these people gathered was because it was Pentecost. And so God took that opportunity to say, you know, there are people from literally all over the world right here, right now. What a great day to share my good news with them in their own language. And so that's what we're going to be celebrating today. And it was on that day when God filled the disciples with his Holy Spirit and brought new people in that he created the church, that he made the church out of a group of disciples. And so I'll be reading from the second chapter of the book of Acts and the first 21 verses. On the day of Pentecost, all the believers were meeting together in one place. Suddenly there was a sound from heaven like the roaring of a mighty windstorm, and it filled the house where they were sitting. Then what looked like flames or tongues of fire appeared and settled on each of them, and everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking in other languages as the Holy Spirit gave them this ability. At that time, there were devout Jews from every nation living in Jerusalem. When they heard the loud noise, everyone came running, and they were bewildered to hear their own languages being spoken by the believers. They were completely amazed. "How can this be?" they exclaimed. "These people are all from Galilee, and yet we hear them speaking in our own native languages. Here we are, Parthians, Medes, Elamites, people from Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, the province of Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and the areas of Libya around Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, and we all hear these people speaking in our own languages about the wonderful things God has done." They stood there amazed and perplexed. "What can this mean?" they asked each other. But others in the crowd ridiculed them, saying, "They're just drunk, that's all." Then Peter stepped forward with the 11 other apostles and shouted to the crowd, "Listen carefully, all of you fellow Jews and residents of Jerusalem. Make no mistake about this. These people are not drunk, as some of you are assuming. 9 o'clock in the morning is much too early for that. No, what you see was predicted long ago by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit upon all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions, and your old men will dream dreams. In those days, I will pour out my spirit even on my servants, men and women alike, and they will prophesy. And I will cause wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and clouds of smoke. The sun will become dark and the moon will turn blood red before that great and glorious day of the Lord arrives. But everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." May God add his blessing to the reading of his word. Friends, today is Pentecost. As we said, this is one of the principal feast days of the Christian year. It is so holy and so important to the church that for the first 700 years of the church's existence, Easter and Pentecost were the two main holidays. Christmas was kind of a forgotten thing. It wasn't that important. It was Easter and Pentecost, and actually Epiphany was the third most important. And yet, isn't it amazing that none of us would even know it's Pentecost if the only thing we were doing was paying attention to our culture, right? My wife, Susan, and I went out to West County Mall. It's an amazing thing. It's a mall that still has stores in it, right? Really weird. So we're walking around West County Mall the other day, and guess what? I did not see a single solitary Pentecost decoration anywhere in them all. We did not hear a single solitary Pentecost carol blaring through the tinny speakers in the mall, right? We didn't see a single solitary store announcing their Pentecost sale. I didn't get a single solitary Pentecost card from any of you. I mean, what's up with that? And I'm wondering, how are we doing in the church at remembering Pentecost? Raise your hand if you have all of your Pentecost presents already wrapped and under your Pentecost tree, okay? Oh, good. We got one. Awesome. All right. Raise your hand if your Pentecost dinner turkey is in the oven even now, getting ready for your Pentecost feast later today, right? You know, isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? I think the reason Pentecost has failed to catch on in the retail world is because it's just so difficult to wrap your arms around it. It's so difficult to even understand what happened, let alone try to explain what happened. Even Luke is at a loss for words. He says it was kind of like tongues of fire, but even he wasn't sure what really happened on this first Christian Pentecost. Our Bible lesson today tells us that there was a group of believers, about 120 people, gathered in the upper room. They were actually in the very same room where Jesus celebrated the Last Supper. The upper room where Christ gathered his disciples to share the Last Supper, his disciples had gathered again on this day to celebrate Pentecost, when all of a sudden, through the ceiling, there appeared to be things like flames, tongues of fire coming down and setting on the head of every person there. And they heard this terrific noise, almost like a hurricane force wind coming into the room itself. And as the flames enveloped all the people there, the Holy Spirit came upon them and transformed them, created them into the church, but also the Holy Spirit gave them powers that they did not have before. The Holy Spirit gave them abilities that they did not previously have. And all of a sudden, these people who grew up in Galilee and probably spoke Aramaic as their native tongue, maybe could speak Hebrew, maybe not, maybe a little Greek or Latin, but probably most of them only spoke Aramaic, are suddenly speaking Egyptian, and they didn't know Egyptian. They're suddenly speaking Arabic, and they didn't know Arabic. We're not talking about glossolalia or talking weird nonsense. We're talking real languages. Languages so that the people from that part of the world would hear in their own native tongue that God loves them. And here's the amazing thing. All of the disciples were speaking in different languages, but they were all saying the very same thing. They were telling the people there that God loves you so much that he sent his son into the world to bring you home. God loves you so much that he laid down his life for you, and he wants to save you. He wants to transform your life. He wants to give you life for the very first time. God loves you. And all of the people were astounded to hear this great good news in their own language. And because Pentecost was a Jewish holiday, there were people from all over the world in Jerusalem that day to hear this great glad news. Now, if you think about it, that's probably why you don't get too many greeting cards of Pentecost, right? Even the good people at Hallmark would be challenged to try to find a way to picture a group of very obviously startled people speaking a language that they didn't know that they knew to another startled group of people who are listening to the good news of God coming from the mouth of somebody who doesn't speak their language. I mean, what message would you put in that card? May you hear God's voice in your own tongue. May you hear God's voice in the language that you speak. It doesn't lend itself to retail. It doesn't lend itself to be marketed by our culture. But this day is most assuredly a day that we need to celebrate, a day that we need to remember, a day that we need to continue to celebrate. Because Pentecost was God's announcement to the entire human race that Jesus loved them so much, that Jesus loved them so much that Jesus came into this world, took their sins upon himself, bled those sins out so that they could be set free from the power of sin and death and given new life. And here's the thing. The disciples were saying it in all these different languages that it didn't matter who you are. It didn't matter what race you are. It didn't matter what culture you came from. It didn't matter what gender you are. It didn't matter what you looked like. It didn't matter any of these things because all people, every single solitary person is welcome to hear the good news, is welcome to the good news. And this is one of the first times that this great barrier was absolutely destroyed because God transcended all of these things. Culture doesn't matter. Language doesn't matter. What you look like doesn't matter. God transcends all of those things and came into your world exactly where you are. Not asking you to come into his world. God went into your world and proclaimed in your language how much he loves you. And the people heard that loud and clear. And the church heard that loud and clear. That they were not supposed to be an exclusive group. They were supposed to be inclusive. They were supposed to welcome everybody. They were supposed to be a worldwide phenomenon that brought all people into the family of God. And to become a believer, to become a member of God's holy family, you don't have to master a certain language. You don't have to adopt a particular culture. You don't have to like a certain kind of music because God's love transcends all of these things. And believe me, I could go on and talk about all the miracles that happened that day, but the one I want to focus on today, the one I want to pay particular attention to, is the miracle of hearing. Far more than the miracle of being able to speak in another language is the miracle of hearing right where I am right now, that God loves me right where I am right now. Every person on earth was able to hear in a language that made them able to hear that God was crazy in love with them. Have you ever been in a foreign country that doesn't speak English, right? Sometimes we're lucky because English is so well known that you can almost always find somebody who speaks English, but sometimes you can't. I know I one time got lost in the city of Rome, Italy, and there wasn't anybody who could speak English, and I don't speak any Italian at all, and I'm trying to figure out how to get to the right bus station to be able to get back to my hotel, and it's very difficult to do when you don't speak the language. So when we're walking around and frustrated, we being Susan and I, walking around frustrated trying to find this bus, suddenly we hear in the distance, somebody speaking English. And it was like, yes, my language. And we gravitated towards that. And it was so good to hear our language and know, yes, yes, we're going to be okay. That's what was happening. All these people just, oh, that's my language. And they were hearing God speak to them through people that you matter, that you're loved just the way you are. I love you, God said to them that day. So what does that mean for us today? I mean, that's great, Mike, that this took place 2,000 years ago in Jerusalem. Wonderful story. But what significance does that have for us? What difference does that make for us today? What does it mean to those of us who have had a Bible and had preaching and had lessons and had liturgy in our native tongue our entire life? We've always had this. What does the day of Pentecost have to say to us? Well, here's what I think we need to take away from this, that Pentecost needs to be a present tense thing and not a past tense thing. Jesus was born, okay? That's Christmas, past tense. Jesus was born. But Pentecost is God is sharing his spirit with us. So it's got to forever be a present tense thing, and we need to recognize that we, for the most part, the folks in this room are just like the folks who were in that upper room, right? We're pretty ordinary people, and by the world's standards, living pretty ordinary lives. And yet God was able to take those very ordinary people living very ordinary lives and set the world on fire, turn the world upside down through those very ordinary lives. He was able to do some pretty extraordinary things through the gift of the Holy Spirit. Jesus has called you and Jesus has called me to continue to do that. And so we need to embrace this, friends, right? It's not the person you hear breathing right next to you that God has called. God has called you to be the bearer of this good news. God has called you to reach out into the world and let the people you talk to know how much He loves them. Each one of us have been called. Each one of us have been given the gift of the Holy Spirit to be able to do this. So here's my question, and here's my challenge. When was the last time you did that? Right? How many people did you talk to about Jesus this past week? How many people did you go out of your way to let them know how much God loves them this past week? How many people did you invite to join you here at church so that they could hear the good news of Jesus Christ? Now, the chances are for the vast majority of us, the answer to those questions is zero. I haven't talked to anybody about Jesus. I haven't invited anyone here to church. And so why? I mean, truly, why is that? Why are we not talking about Jesus? Why are we not inviting people here? I think in large part it's because we think that that's beyond us. We think that it's too difficult. I'm not going to be able to do that. I'm not going to know the right answer to their question. I don't have that ability. And what the day of Pentecost tells us is, yes, you do. Yes, you do. You have the ability if you have been given the gift of the Holy Spirit. Because remember, the disciples weren't the ones doing it. It was the Holy Spirit doing it through the disciples. And so it's not you that's going to be doing it. It's God's Holy Spirit working in you. And there's only two ways that that won't work, is if God's Holy Spirit can't use you, and you know that's not true. Of course God's Holy Spirit can use you. Or if God's Holy Spirit can't do it, and of course God's Holy Spirit can do it. And so each one of us very ordinary people have the ability to do extraordinary things when we reach out. It's nothing spectacular that needs to be done. It's simply talking to the people in your workplace about Jesus. It's talking to the cashier at the grocery store, just letting them know how much you appreciate them, just speaking a word of grace to them. It's talking about Jesus on the golf course. It's talking about Jesus at Busch Stadium. It's talking about God knows they need Jesus at Wrigley Field and talking about Jesus there. Wherever you happen to be, you have an opportunity to talk about Jesus. And I'm not talking about being some crazy, wild-eyed person who makes people run away. But God will give you an opportunity if you're listening, and that's the key. You don't just walk up to somebody and say, hey, let me tell you about Jesus. But you do walk up to people and engage them in conversation and then have your antennas up and listen for an opportunity to share something about Jesus with them. That's what we're talking about doing. Listen for an opportunity to be able to invite them to join you. Okay? I want to share something with you that I've shared with you many, many times. So I know you know the answer to this. But it just happened again. It being a survey by Barna was just done again, and guess what? The results were almost exactly the same as when they took that same survey 7 years ago, which was almost exactly the same as when they took that survey about 10 years before that, okay? So I know you know the answer to this. According to the Barna survey, what is the number one reason why people come to church without even being able to see second place? I mean, number two is so far in the rearview mirror, it's not even in the picture. The number one, over 80%, that's how big number one, over 80% answered this question, why did you come to church? What is the number one answer? I know you know this. Because someone invited me. Right? 80%. They'll come if you invite them. Trust me, they will. They'll come if you invite them. That's not a super spectacular thing. It's a very ordinary thing. 80% of people come because they got invited. And guess what? Of those people who don't go to church in that survey, Barna asked the follow-up question, why? Why aren't you going to church? Shouldn't be hard after our last question, but I'm going to ask you. Anybody want to know what the big time number one response was? Not 80%, but it was over 65% answered, why aren't you going to church? Care to guess? Nobody ever asked me. Nobody ever asked me, right? When we invite people, it works. When we fail to invite, they're waiting. They're waiting. People want to know the good news. And trust me, you'll have the words to say, okay? I invite people to church all the time. And guess what? I've never been put in the predicament that we fear, right? It may not sound spectacular to invite somebody, but the results are spectacular. And people are not going to say this, friends. People are not going to say, well, you know what? I'll come to church as long as you can explain to me your church's exegetical interpretation of the imminent parousia that St. Paul talked about. Now, answer that and I'll come to church. You know, no, they don't. They don't ask that. When you invite them to church, no one has ever said, well, I find Wesley's real presence in the sacrament intriguing, but I'm not quite sure that it has the same merit as Luther's consubstantiation or Aquinas's transubstantiation. So if you could explain that to me, it's not going to happen, friends. We make it so much more difficult than it is. It's, hey, would you like to go to lunch with me? Boom, now you're on your way. You have an opportunity to talk to somebody. You have an opportunity to share the good news if you're paying attention. But you have to pay attention. God will open that door. Do you think God wants that person to know him? Yes. Do you think God will give you an opportunity to do what God has asked you to do? Yes. So you just have to trust God that that opportunity will happen, and you're going to be ready when it does because you're going to be looking for it. How often we don't take the opportunity because we don't recognize the opportunity and we don't recognize it because we're not looking for it. But when we expect God to make that opportunity, we'll see it and we can take advantage of it. And we can enter into the world of the people around us. And it's important that we do that, right? On the first day of Pentecost, God didn't expect all of them to come into the temple and learn Hebrew. God took it out to them. You know, 50 years ago, our nation was far more one language. And I'm not even talking different literal languages. I'm saying of those of us who speak English, 50 years ago, we pretty much spoke the same English, right? 50 years ago, there could be such a thing as a hit parade, right? Because everybody, for the most part, listened to the same kind of music. And that's simply not true today. Music has been broken down into so many different genres that are available to every single one of us. You know, when I was growing up, you couldn't turn on a bluegrass station. You couldn't turn on an indie station. There was no such thing as hip-hop, so you couldn't turn that on. But all of these things now have channels by the dozens that you have to choose from. So there are so many more choices, and the same thing is true for our entertainment, right? I grew up in Chicago. That means when I was a kid, those of you who aren't as old as me, there used to be these weird, like, they were called dials, okay? And they were on a TV. And you would walk, seriously, I'm not making this up. You would walk up to the TV and you'd go click, click, click. And that's how you switch channels, okay? And you know what we had to choose from? We had ABC, we had CBS, we had NBC, PBS. Didn't come in very well unless the antenna was just the right way. And I had WGN because I grew up in Chicago. If you grew up in St. Louis, you had Channel 11 instead of that. But that's it, right? That's it. We were all watching the same shows. Not anymore, man. There's hundreds and hundreds of channels to choose from. And so my point in all of this is this, that we may all be speaking English, but we speak it really differently because we can live in the world that we choose to live in based upon all the choices that we have. And so it's up to us as the church to go into their world and speak their language and get to know them where they are and not expect them to speak our language and not expect them to look like us and not expect them to come here. We need to go out and we need to learn their language so that we can speak the good news of God's love to them in a language that they will understand. And remember, as we share our faith in this way, we're doing a very, very natural thing. We're just letting God use us the same way that God used the apostles so long ago. And if you will allow God, I promise you, God wants it done. I promise you, God will use you in amazing ways. But you have to be open to it. You have to allow God to do that. And if you're still not convinced that you can do this, let me tell you one more time, yes, you can. Because it's God doing it through you. And the Bible says this, the promise is for you. The promise is for you, for your children, and for all who are far away, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to him. The Holy Spirit is poured out on all flesh, people. God sends his love to us so gently. And yet that Spirit packs such power that we, like the original disciples, are going to be able to do things we didn't think we would ever be able to do. That's what Pentecost is all about. If we'll only trust God enough to allow God to use us, God will continue this amazing miracle of hearing. And the people you work with and the people that you live with and the people that you go to see ball games with, people that you go golfing with, are the very ones that God wants so badly to offer life to. And if you give yourself an opportunity to be used by God, then he'll use you at school and at work and on the golf course and wherever you happen to be, because God wants that person to know how much they are loved. And when we open ourselves to that, Pentecost is a present tense event. And we continue this miracle that God started on this day so long ago. So let's choose to be the church. Let's choose to make a difference. Let's choose to let others know that they matter to God so that we can bring glory to Jesus our Lord. In the name of God the Father, excuse me, Son and Holy Spirit, amen. Let's pray. Gracious and Holy One, we give you praise and thanks that we were brought to faith probably in very ordinary ways, Lord. Probably the vast majority of people in the room right now were brought to faith by a very ordinary person who simply reached out to them in a very ordinary way. I know that's how it worked with me, Lord. I did not have the St. Paul get knocked off my horse kind of a conversion. I just had an ordinary person choose to share the good news with me. And so we know, God, based on our own lives, how easy it can be. So help us to lay down our fears. Help us to lay down our objections. Lay down whatever it is that's preventing us from hearing your call and from allowing your Spirit to move through us. Help us, God. Empower us to be the church that reaches out to all people to let them know the best good news of all time, that Jesus loves them and Jesus is here for them. We ask that you help us to do this so we can truly be the church that you created and called us to be, as we ask all of this in the name of Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Amen.